Amen. You're in Acts chapter 20. There's quite a lot going on in that chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 20. I'm just going to read a few verses there from verse 26. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 26. And if you don't have a Bible, just listen clearly. I'll try and read it clearly like Dan did there as well. And we'll just try and just listen to the words which God's got to say to you. But if you do have a Bible, have a look in Acts 20 and from verse 26 where we see this. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And the title of my sermon is from verse 29. The title is, Grievous Wolves Shall Enter In Among You. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you. Before we carry on, I'd like to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many warnings you give us in your word, Lord, the warnings that we need to take heed to, Lord. Help us all here just to focus on what your word's saying, Lord, to focus on the warnings you regularly give us in your word, Lord, and to then act upon those warnings, to do what you tell us to do, to be able to be safe, to be safe from these sorts of people, from these sorts of attacks, Lord. Help me to preach this clearly and accurately and boldly and full of your spirit, Lord, and help everyone who have attentive ears to the message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so there's an uncomfortable truth in biblical Christianity. Okay, there's an uncomfortable truth, and it's that we are stalked, we are surrounded, and we are regularly attacked by predators. Okay, as Christians, as believers, we are regularly attacked by predators. Keep a finger here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians 11. If you don't, just listen to what I've got to say. It's a constant theme in the Bible. If you think about it, the serpent appears as early as Genesis chapter 3. Three chapters into the Bible, you've got the creation of the world, the creation of mankind, focused in on in chapter 2. Then by chapter 3, we've got a predator. Straight away, we've got a snake. We have a serpent right at the beginning of the Bible. It's a constant theme, and it still, you know, it continues with the serpent going out to deceive the nations as late, really, as any time 1,000 years on from now, any time over that is. And, you know, we're going forward throughout the millennial reign, that is, into Revelation 20. Because that's who's behind it all. It is Satan, okay? So these sorts of attacks, these sorts of people that we see as a constant theme through the Bible, all the way through to Revelation 20 from Genesis 3, it's all about the devil, Satan, the enemy of mankind, and particularly the enemy of God's people. Yet contrary to popular belief, and contrary to probably the popular belief that people are conditioned to believe, did you know that the devil doesn't run around with a pitchfork and with horns on his head and a ghoulish face? That's not the devil in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 11 says it like this in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So rather than being obvious, they were pretending to be apostles. They were pretending to be working for God. Verse 14 says, and no marvel. He said, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan tries to appear as a good guy. Okay, he doesn't appear as this evil, scary creature. He appears as a good guy, as a good version of God through the tons of false religions. The Bible says the devil's behind all of them. So behind all these false religions is the devil, and he appears as a good guy. He appears even as a false version of Jesus Christ. So the devil is behind all of these fake Jesuses where your works get you to heaven. with this fake Jesus, which has differing, depending on which version of the devil's churches you go to, a different line and different level of things you have to do to achieve heaven. They're all fake Jesuses, and the devil is behind all of them. That Catholic Jesus with the long flowing hair and the white skin and the blue eyes and the dress and walks around like this, that's a fake Jesus. That's the devil. That's the devil. The devil comes across as a blue-eyed, long flowing locks, looks like a queer. That's not Jesus of the Bible. That's the devil. He said in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So what he's saying is, it shouldn't then surprise us, it shouldn't surprise us that his ministers, his workers, the devil's people, the people that work for the devil, his children, the devil's children, children of the devil, try to appear as ministers of righteousness. So we shouldn't marvel at that. And first thing you've got to understand about that, by the way, is that there are people in the world who are children of the devil. There are people in the world that the Bible says are ministers of the devil. They're his ministers. They do his work. And they appear like us. They appear to be some sort of good person in your eyes. It shouldn't surprise us, he said. Now, to some, the Muslim imam is what they consider to be a minister of righteousness. So for the many Muslims, the many Islamists out there in the world, the guy in the dress with the long funny beard and, you know, usually a magic hat, for them, they think this guy is a respectable, righteous guy. But he's a child of the devil. According to the Bible, he's a minister of Satan. But for them, they think this is a great guy. What a holy guy. He wears a dress and he's got a beard. He must be holy. For others, it's the Catholic priest. They consider the Catholic priest, who also wears a dress, even though the Bible says that's a shame unto a man, but who also wears a dress and who also usually has a magic hat and waves around incense and does a load of stuff that's not in the Bible. But for many, they look at that and they think, that is a holy man. That's a righteous man, don't they? He doesn't have horns in his head. He doesn't hold a pitchfork. But he's a minister of the devil. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. However, they're not the only ones. To others who accept the Bible is the word of God. So to those that actually believe that this is the word of God, the devil's children, the people of the devil, his ministers, have to look a little bit more subtle. That minister of righteousness often carries a Bible. Did you know that? Just because someone carries a Bible doesn't mean they're a good person. Often when they're carrying a Bible, they're still a child of the devil. Because they're coming as what? As a minister of righteousness. They're meant to look like they're good people. They might even claim to believe it. They might even claim to want to win souls. They might even go out and even look like they're preaching the gospel to people and get people to pray with them. They might even claim to be a pastor. That's why in Matthew 7, Jesus warned us of the wolves in sheep's clothing. Look at verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they come in sheep's clothing. They look like believers. They look like Christians, but inside they're ravening wolves. They might even act like the sheep, by the way. At least in public. In public, they'll look like sheep. In front of other people, they'll act like sheep. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. What's their goal? The ultimate goal is ravening or devouring. That's basically destruction. Their ultimate goal is more people going to hell. Now, you might think, well, wait a second. If I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, what can they do to me? No, they can't make you go to hell if you're saved. If you've put your faith in Christ, you're saved. But what they can do is they can destroy your walk with God. They can stop you going on to get other people saved. So ultimately, what's the result? More people in hell. That's their job. They want to raven. They want to destroy. Okay, this is a big warning in the Bible. We get it time and time again. I'm only going to go to a few places today for because of the time. I could do what Paul did in that chapter and preach all night, but I'm not going to. There's a few too mosquitoes at night here. But we are going to finish in good time. But I am going to go to some chapters today just to show you that this is a constant theme in the Bible. So they look like the sheep. They act like the sheep. What's their goal? We saw ravening and devouring. But there are different angles to achieve this, okay? So some like the aforementioned teachers of false religion. So like I said, the priest, the vicar, the prophet, apostle, whatever his name is, all those different types. For them, it's just obvious. For us, they just teach work salvation. Open, they say you have to work your way to heaven. They're lying and they're damning people to hell. Now that's obvious. You say, well, how can they affect someone who's saved? You'd be amazed. There are saved people out there who have got saved who right now, Sunday, have probably spent some time in a Catholic church, in a Pentecostal church, in an Apostle of Christ, whatever church, give us all your money, church, whatever type of church. And they're there, they probably deep down they know they're wrong, but they're like, well, my family go there, my friends go there, the music sounds nice, I might as well carry on going there. What are those people doing for God? Nothing. What are they learning every single week? Lies. What happens? Their faith, they have doubt in themselves, doubt in the word of God, doubt in their faith. They go on to be basically lousy Christians, useless Christians. Now others, it's more subtle. They claim it's not of works. So there will be ones. These are funny, these guys, yeah? We talk to, you know, we're a soul winning church. We talk to people a lot. And we talk to false prophets a lot, sadly. And they'll say something like, oh, yeah. It's faith alone to go to heaven. Oh, it's not of works. But if you do a bad sin, then you go to hell. That's works. That's work salvation. That's working your way to heaven. You can't say it's not of works, then tell someone they've got to do works and expect them to believe. Well, just because he said it's not of works. Sadly, though, how many people go, well, I don't think he believes you've got to work your way to heaven. He just says repent of your sins to get to heaven. What does that mean? That means give up your sins. That means turn away from your sins. That's works. That's hard work. In fact, it's impossible. Because if you say there's no sin within you, then you're a liar. You're a liar. If you say you have not sinned. And you make him a liar too. Well, often like a wolf, shall I tell you what they also do? They target the young before they become a fully grown sheep. So this is another worry, another risk that's out there is they target the lambs. Like, what does a wolf do? When a wolf or a pack of wolves, often they work in teams, when wolves try to take sheep, they don't usually go for the big sheep. They usually go for the young. They go for the lambs, or they go for those that are weak, those that are maybe crippled, those that maybe can't run away so quickly. They go for the easy targets. And the easy targets in Christianity aren't just children, but also babes in Christ, new believers. Wolves go for new believers because they're basically spiritual babies. They're not able, they're not strong enough, they don't know the word enough to defend themselves from the attacks of false doctrine. Now, how do they do that? Well, sometimes they'll weaken you through bad teaching, just teaching you a load of lies, bad teaching that just maybe gets you into different types of sin, maybe the bad teaching just, you know, gets you in the flesh, or maybe the bad teaching is just to basically weaken your will for soul winning. They'll tell you, no, people can get saved from just reading a tract. No, they can't. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by looking at Bible verses. Yet they'll maybe promote that, or they'll promote other things. They'll put a doubt on soul winning to try and stop you going out and getting other people saved. Put doubt in your mind, make you question, make you wonder, make you worry that I don't know if I could prove this because that false prophet told me a verse that seems like you could lose your salvation. But the verse had nothing to do with salvation. But they target the weak who don't know the Bible. Maybe it's bad soul winning. There are those out there, we've had this before in our church, where they'll come in, they'll claim to be like us, but then they'll become this big personality in our church, and everyone wants to listen and look what they do, and they do bad, useless soul winning. So people aren't getting saved. They're just giving them a quick few verses and telling them to pray. And it's a waste of time. The result with these people, whether it's coming into churches or whether it's less direct, for example, like promoting sin, like causing division in churches, this is another goal, another way they do it. They come into a church and they try and pull their own group after them, try and cause division, slander the man of God, slander other people in the church, try and make division in a church. All of it, what's the goal? It's destruction, it's more people going to hell. And this can be both from behind the pulpit. These people come in behind pulpits, obviously, whether it's a legitimate church or a false church, and outside of it, from some form of leader to some form of church member. They're everywhere, with the result being less soul winning and more destruction. Now, how do we spot them then? So all that by way of introduction, how do we spot a wolf? Do their ears just pop out of the outfit? Not always. Now, like I said, some are obvious. Hopefully, if you've just got saved, it should start to twig in your mind that all those churches that were all setting up, all behind here, over here, over here, all of those different people are not teaching what the Bible says to get you to heaven. Every single one is teaching you that you've got to do some sort of works to get to heaven. Now, they might claim the name of Christ. They might say, oh, yeah, you've got to believe and be good. You've got to believe and follow his commandments. You've got to believe and give up your sins. You've got to believe and never do this sin in the future. You've got to believe and get baptized. Whatever it is, they're adding works to faith alone in Christ alone, which means it's not faith alone in Christ alone. They're adding works to salvation. They're damning people to hell. So hopefully, if you're saved, you're starting to realize, wow, there's a lot of liars out there. There's a lot of false prophets out there. They're everywhere. We've just been watching them go in and out of here all day. Pastors, prophets, whatever they call themselves. Some of them even call themselves apostles. They're so stupid, they don't even realize that there is no apostle after that generation that had seen the risen Christ. But people get conned by them. People get tricked by these people. They're charismatic. They're very good with their words a lot of the time. They make you want to listen to them. They tickle your ears. But they're wicked, lying devils. And they're ministers of the devil. How do we spot them then? Verse 16, where you are in Matthew 7 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So the fruits are what comes out of our mouths, with the fruit of the righteous resulting in salvations. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So saved people have the ability to get other people saved. Wolves in sheep's clothing don't. They cannot get people saved. They cannot result in someone who's received eternal life, because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. What they say, what comes out of their mouth, cannot get people saved. Now, they can copy us. They can say the same things as us. They can look like us. They can act like us. They can go out and attempt to preach the gospel like us. They can even get people to pray with them like us. But it doesn't mean that those people are saved. They cannot get someone saved. The fruit of their mouths will not result in a tree of life. The best will say what we say, though. They will bleat like a sheep, but the result isn't genuine salvations, okay? However, with that, eventually, I believe, the fruit will show. In Luke 6:45, and you don't have to turn, I'm only going to quote the one verse. In Luke 6:45, talking of fruits, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Eventually these people will reveal, sometimes subtly, sometimes it's pretty subtle, what they really believe. Okay? Sometimes it just comes out. Sometimes it'll be just in a conversation or something, something will blurt out. They'll say something which shows that really they're trusting in their works. He said in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, the will of the Father being stated in John 6:40 is that someone gets saved. That's the will of the Father. John 6:40 says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The will of the Father is that we'll put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. That's his will. Now, although this passage is a proof text for those out there calling Jesus Lord but trusting in their works, ultimately it's talking about false prophets. This passage here really is talking about false prophets. It says in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied." They've preached. They're prophets. They're claiming to be prophets of God. They're claiming to preach the word of God. They're saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works." What are they trusting in? Their works. They're trusting in their works to get them to heaven. What does Jesus say to these people? Verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So workers of iniquity being another name for wicked people, for children of the devil, for sons of Belial is another name. Reprobates, false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, false brethren, etc. These are all types of children of the devil, the ministers of the devil. These people are trusting in their works, and eventually, like I said, these people reveal that. It will come out in one way or another. I've noticed this with time with people. It can take some time, though. You say, but what kind of people sneak around pretending that they believe like us? You might be sitting there thinking, what on earth? This sounds a bit far-fetched. I didn't know the Bible said this. I thought the Bible just said, love thy neighbor, and then pat each other on the back and sing some songs. What on earth? There are actually people that will sneak around pretending they believe like us, but waiting for a chance to raven, to devour believers. Well, I'll tell you what types of people these are. They're the worst types of psychopath out there. These people are wicked. They're vile. They're disgusting. They're completely crazy. That's what the Bible says. Their conscience is seared. They have no conscience. They have no empathy. They're worse than the serial killer that kills dozens of people. Worse than the person that spends his life sneaking up on people and killing them for fun is the false prophet who spends their life trying to damn people to hell one way or another. They're worse. What they do is affecting people's eternities. And that's a hell of a lot longer than the short life we have here. Do you know what? They're even worse than the child abuser that destroys dozens of lives. A lot of the time they are child abusers. Well, in fact, child abusers, it's a form of reprobate psychopath. It's a form of psychopath. But the ones that are sneaking into churches, pretending to be churches, pretending to be pastors, prophets, priests, all that different type of stuff, those people are worse because they're damning people by the droves to hell. They're wicked people. False brethren and false prophets are responsible for droves of people, massive amounts of people going to hell. How wicked is that? To think there are people like that all over the place. They're called children of the devil, they're sons of Satan, and there are loads of them. First, you don't have to turn it. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The Bible says many, many are gone out. There are many false prophets. They're people that have rejected the truth of God and purposely changed it into a lie. And they're beyond hope. They can't be saved. They've rejected God. They've chosen basically the way of the devil. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They're done. The Bible calls them reprobates or rejected of God. Twice dead. Okay? They're dangerous, and guess what? They're very real. They're dangerous and they're real. They're everywhere. Like I said, we've been surrounded by them all day today. In every other one of those buildings surrounding us is a false prophet. is a wicked, vile child of the devil teaching lies. They're everywhere. And you know what? They're all over Malawi. They're all over Lilongwe. Just driving around Lilongwe, and all I see is false church, fake church, false church, fake church. And who's leading those false churches? False prophets. Liars. Damning people to hell. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, go back to Acts chapter 20. And we're going to make an action plan. A way of not letting this work that we've started in Malawi get destroyed. Those people that are here today not to be destroyed. The people that maybe listen to this off the groups, off the people's numbers we've taken, off the people we're trying to disciple from afar, for them not to be destroyed. So in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul has called the pastors of what was probably a big Ephesian church, okay? It's a day's journey to Miletus, okay? So he's got them a day's journey. They've gone a day's journey to meet him in Miletus. He had previously done a great work in Ephesus, resulting in loads of salvations at a church. So in Ephesus at this point, they've got a church, they've got multiple pastors, they've probably got assistant pastors, there's a lot going on there, it's probably a big church at this point. Verse 26 says, wherefore I take you to record this day, Acts 20 verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So the title is Grievous Wolves Shall Enter In Among You. And point number one, or solution number one, is so get fed. So get fed. Paul said that it's not his fault if they allow the wolves in, because he's declared unto them all the counsel of God. He said, I'm not guilty anymore. I've declared unto you all the counsel of God. He said, I've preached the whole lot. He's preached them all of it. He didn't avoid this part of it and just focus on the nicer parts. He didn't go, well, we don't want to preach this part of it because this is a bit uncomfortable. This isn't very nice. People aren't going to go away feeling good about themselves. So let's swerve all of that stuff. I'll just preach the nice rosy bits. No, he preached all the counsel of God. He preached the whole Bible. He didn't avoid doctrine and just focus on encouragement. Now, people need encouragement. Christians need encouragement. They need exhortation. But you know what? He preached doctrine. I'll tell you why he preached doctrine, because that's how they attack you, is with false doctrine. You need to know doctrine. Teachings from the Bible, true teachings from the Bible. He didn't worry about offending people. He didn't not preach the doctrine. He didn't not preach once saved, always saved, in case half of the people left because they didn't believe. No, he preached it, and I bet he preached it hard as well. Because you need to hear the doctrine, you need reminding time and time again, because the false messages, the false gospels are everywhere. And they're there to put doubt in your mind, to put doubt in you, to make you turn your head a little bit and not be so sure and not be so confident to preach to other people. And he's saying to those that are left in charge to take heed by continuing to feed them. He's saying to feed God's people. Turn to Psalm 91, because that's what the Word of God is, okay? The Word of God is spiritual food. Turn to Psalm 91. It's spiritual food, and if you want to be strong enough to take on wolves, then you need feeding. Wolves are scary animals. Can you imagine being a sheep and being surrounded by wolves? You need some feeding, don't you? You need to be strong enough to battle the wolves. You're turning to Psalm 91, and it's not just one, two, or three meals that you may have got this week if you've listened or come to any of our services. You need constant food. Sheep need to constantly graze, don't they? Sheep need to graze. They need to be constantly eating the pasture. You can't just feed a sheep a little bit of grass and then expect to have some nice lamb chops at the end, can you? You can't give that lamb just a little bit of its mother's milk. Then as it gets a little bit older, a little bit of pasture. Right, you've had your one bit of pasture a week, off into the shed with you. You're going to have a pretty skinny, nasty bit of lamb there, aren't you? You want good lamb, you need to feed it. It needs regular grazing to be strong, to get fat. For that soul to get fat and strong, it needs regular feeding. But this pasture, this feed turns sheep into super sheep. This pasture makes them into turbocharged sheep. Psalm 91 says it like this, because it turns you into a spiritual warrior. Psalm 91 says in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Well, how do you do that? How do you make the Lord your refuge or your home or the place that you could be safe? It's his word. It's his statutes. It's his commandments. It's reading the word. He said, because you've done that, because you've drawn nigh unto him. And by the way, we do that by reading his word firstly, but also by hearing preaching. By reading the word, by hearing the preaching, and not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer. He doesn't just say, just read my Bible and carry on living a wicked life. No, he said, read my Bible, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer as well. Change your life, live for God, read the word, listen to the preacher, you might be able to deal with the wolves. And when we do that, verse 10 in Psalm 91 says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now look at verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. He said that when you make God your refuge, when you make God your habitation, when you draw close to him through his word, through prayer, through doing what he asks you to do, through listening to preaching, from doing the things that God wants you doing. He said, when you do all of that, you could trample on these scumbags. Because that's what they are, they're scum. They're pure scum. And they're everywhere. False prophets everywhere, they're scum. And you could trample on them with your feet once you make God your habitation. You'll see through their false doctrine. You'll see through their lies. Can you mean, wait a second, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say what that stupid banner on the front says in 1 John 4:10. It didn't say that. What are you talking about, you liars? What does the Bible say? You'll see through their lies. You'll see through their fake exteriors. You'll see through the fakeness, because you'll start to see, wait a second, that big smile and that, oh yeah, we just love you so much, that doesn't add up. That's not what you're really doing. You just want my money. That's what most of it is, isn't it? It's just money. Money, money, money. That's what all these churches want. They want your money. You'll resist their attempts to destroy your walk if you actually are in the Word, if you've made God your habitation. You don't have to fear them, though. Okay, just to make it clear, you don't have to fear them. Turn to John 14. 1 John 4:4 says it like this. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, greater is he in you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God indwelling you if you're saved than he that is in the world. That's greater than the devil. Greater than all those false prophets, all those wicked people, is the Holy Spirit, is God Almighty. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and he is greater than the devil. There's no competition. God could kill the devil like that. The only reason he doesn't is because the devil presents an option. He presents a choice. He presents a choice to people to choose the false prophets, to choose the false religions, or to actively choose God. And you need to choose God, because we all have free will. But for that indwelling Holy Spirit to be most effective, he wants feeding. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit wants feeding inside you. John 14, 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, John 14, 26, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Do you know how you deal with these people? Do you know how the Holy Spirit is most effective? Is if you read the Bible, if you read the word, if you listen to the preaching. But proper preaching, not preaching where they don't use the Bible, preaching where you're going to verses, where the word of God, the sense is being given to you, it's being explained, it's being preached from the Bible. He said, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the word of God, okay? But for it to be brought into remembrance, it needs to be read. It needs to be heard preached. So get fed. You need to get fed. How? Read the Bible morning and evening. Like I just did with a guy earlier, just downloaded the Bible app. Just download it onto his phone. King James Bible on your phone, you've got the whole Bible there. And if you don't have a phone, maybe a family member will let you do that. And if you don't have that, then maybe we can find a way of getting you a Bible. But you need to read the Bible. It needs to be read. Morning and evening. Meditate therein day and night, like we said this morning. And get involved with our online preaching. We live in a day and age where you can listen to preaching, proper preaching. You can listen to it live. You could be, you're 1 hour difference to us here. You can listen on a Wednesday evening when we preach live. You can listen on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday evening, you can listen to proper preaching from the Word of God, not from a load of fakes. You can listen to our New Believer series and learn little truths right at the beginning of being a believer on our channel. You just subscribe. We've got under playlist New Believer series. You can look at the What We Believe series. I look at the doctrines we believe and why. Why we believe from the Word of God what we believe. Not because, well, someone else believes it. Someone told me to believe it. Well, what does the Bible say? That's what matters. That's our final authority, the Word of God. Go back to Acts chapter 20. And verse 26 says, wherefore I take you to record this day, or take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The title is Grievous Wolves Shall Enter In Among You. Number one, so get fed. Number two, so expect them to enter. Expect them to enter. He said he's sure of it. In verse 29, he said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What does it mean to be grievous? It's hurtful. It's destructive. But of course, they won't look like wolves. They will smile. They will claim to want to do good. They will claim to love you. They'll claim they have all this love for you. They just want to help you. They just want to do good things for you. But they want to destroy all of you. They don't want anyone to escape. Every single one of you, every person that's got saved over the last week or two here, the grievous wolves want to destroy you. They want to destroy your Christian walk, destroy your Christian life in one way or another, stop you serving God. And it's easier to do that before it even starts. But on the flip side, okay, we do want to welcome in new believers, don't we? So as and when you find people that seem to be saved, you want to welcome them. You want to love them. You don't want to just be everyone you think must be a wolf. So we have to get a balance with it. We don't want to treat new people as if they're likely wolves. We want to encourage people to want to work for the Lord. We want to try and draw people in and get them working for God. We don't want to treat these new people badly, but let me tell you what to watch out for. These are some obvious ones. Okay, so-called pastors, evangelists, missionaries, leaders, trying to entice you to them. Okay? Whatever flavor, whether they call themselves an independent fundamental Baptist or not, whatever flavor, if people come in and try and pull you towards them in one way or another, believe me, they're likely a problem. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4. I don't care whether they're from Malawi or whether they're from the USA, whether they claim to believe the Bible or not. Don't let them come in and destroy you and destroy the work that we're doing here. Don't let them do it. They'll try and pull you up every which way they can, pull you into their little groups, pull you into their churches and whatever else, pull you away from learning and listening and getting involved with a proper church. That's what these people do. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said this to those in Corinth, of which so many he had personally won to Christ. Paul had personally won many to Christ there. He said, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Now, why sons? Why sons? Why did he call them sons? Some of these men were probably older than him. Why sons? He said, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yeah, there's a lot of people that want to instruct you in Christ or claim to, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. He said, there are thousands of people who want to instruct you, but he said, who got you saved? Who got you saved? And if you're here and you're saved, you know who got you saved. If you're here and someone's preached to you this week, or if you're listening online and you've been preached to in one of the schools and you've got saved, you know who got you saved. So straight away, if you believe in your heart, you believe that you're a sinner that was on the way to hell, and you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know there's no way I can lose that salvation. Whatever happens, I'm saved. If you know that in your heart, then you know who preached, and you know who preached that to you, then you know that that person is saved. And they cannot therefore be a wolf. So do you know what you could do? Is trust that person. Trust that person who got you saved. I trust them above anyone else. If you're saved, the person who got you saved, you could trust above anyone else before you'd start doing fruit inspections. Straight away, you know that person's saved, because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So be very careful of people that are coming in, you don't even know them. Oh, well, no, because they preach exactly the same thing over in Texas. They preach exactly the same thing over in somewhere in England or over. Who are they? Ask us, we'll tell you. And do you know what? Considering many false prophets have gone out into the world, considering there are grievous wolves everywhere, the sad, likely truth is they're probably going to be the same. But we can tell you, if you want to be safe, for starters, don't let them pull you out. Stay in contact. Let us help you. We want to build up people to serve God in Malawi, but we can't do that if you let just any Tom, Dick and Harry come in and pull you one way or another. Oh, well, they seem okay. Well, they've got a King James Bible. They said they're Baptists. Yeah, do you know what? There's a lot of Baptists that are wicked, ravening wolves. Look at verse 16. He said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, because none of us are perfect, and that includes the Apostle Paul, do you know what he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1? He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So, sure, follow the person that got you saved to a degree, but as he is following Christ. So not if he starts to, look, we're all sinful flesh. We can all get things wrong. Even saved people can get into bad things even, right? How do you get that right? How do you know whether or not you're following them as they follow Christ? Well, back to point one, get fed. Read your Bible. Read it. And don't just trust some random people coming in and telling you, oh, well, you know, we believe like you do, don't we? You come and join us. And if before we could get out here, there's someone that we consider legitimate, we'll let you know. If you stay in contact with us and someone legitimate, look, it's not that we've got a monopoly on people that got saved in the last 2 weeks. If someone legitimate came to Malawi and planted a church here, did some work here, we'd be... Get involved. We want you involved. Great. You can start meeting, learning, listen to preaching, being involved with other believers, but not just anyone. It's actually, when it comes to the Christian world, it's quite a small world, and it's quite easy to spot fakes when you've been in it a while, and we know who's legitimate and who's not. But you need to learn, you need to grow, and in the meantime, we'll help you. We just want you guys to learn and grow as well. Go back to Acts 20 and verse 26. Acts 20, 26 says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. The title is grievous wolves shall enter in among you. Point number one is so get fed. Number two, so expect them to enter. And number three, so expect them to arise. So expect them to arise. Paul said that of your own selves shall men arise. Did he say they might arise, or did he say they shall arise? He said they shall arise. He said, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, he said. It's a sad truth that there are wicked people that pretend to get saved. They pretend to want to serve God. Now, there are some people, I believe, that hear the gospel, and maybe they're just kind of hanging around, but they don't get saved. And then they choose in their hearts to change the truth of God into a lie. They choose basically the other path, and they become reprobate whilst being amongst us. But many will just come in. Many from the beginning are just planted there by the devil right at the beginning. They pretend to get saved. They pretend to want to serve God, but they're not genuine. They're fakes. They're false brethren that latch on early at the beginning. We've experienced this over many, many years. Fakes, false brethren coming in amongst us, coming in from early and eventually being exposed. Why? Well, aside from the devil's in them, often their flesh craves the following. They crave people to follow them, to need them, to want them. They need it for their flesh, for their pride, for their ego. They want that following. They want to be teachers themselves. They crave their own position of leadership. He said in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. How do you spot them? Well, they speak perverse things. Perverse here isn't talking about sexual things necessarily. Yes, of course they can. Yes, of course some of them do. But it's first used in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, when the angel of the Lord is talking to the false prophet Balaam and how his way is perverse. And perverse here means literally turned aside, hence distorted from the right, or obstinate in the wrong, disposed to be contrary, stubborn, untractable, cross, petulant, peevish, disposed to cross or vex. So it could be false doctrine. Okay, that's kind of some of the obvious stuff. It'll just be things opposite to what the Bible teaches, or even just things to the contrary, things that are opposite, things that are just slightly different to what's being taught, how you're meant to behave, for example, in the church. Things that the pastor wants you to do and not to do as part of a church. We've noticed these people will just try and get people doing the opposite. Might not be clear doctrine from the Bible. It's just trying to do everything contrary. Everything's got to be different. They've always got to find a way of getting a one up on you. Winning somehow. Getting some, so they're not following. They can feel good about themselves that really they're doing it their own way. Causing trouble, causing problems. Perverse things, different things. So it could be, like I said, it could be things contrary. It could be subtle ways to turn you against our church. So there'll be people that do that. They'll start trying to turn you against our church, against what we preach, what we teach and everything else. Again, just to cause division, to draw you away after them. Why? Well, because they just want to destroy. They want to devour. Turn to Romans 16. Division causing is a big weapon of the enemy, as unity is important when doing such an important work, such a big work. Unity is needed. So it's something to keep an eye out for, isn't it? Division causing, trying to cause a problem, trying to divide the body of Christ, the local New Testament church. Romans 16 and verse 17, and that's even before somewhere becomes a church. It's easier to divide somewhere before it becomes a church. It's much easier to destroy early. Romans 16 and verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren. He's saying, I'm pleading with you. Please. He said, I beseech you, brethren. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Causing division is done in various ways, okay, but it's something to watch for. He said, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. Look, some are very clever with it. Did you know that? They sound so wise. They sound so sensible, so serene, so calm with the way they say it, so wise. He said, with good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And being simple is not a good thing. How do we get unsimple? How do we stop being simple? By reading the word, by learning, by growing in the things of God. And that's how they draw away their own following. Okay, by doing that. But if you expect it, if you remember they're going to do it, if you expect it, it's that much easier to spot. If you just say, no, I know it says it all over the Bible, but it can't be true. Can't be true, I know better. Everyone's nice, really. Well, you're going to get deceived. You're going to get pulled away, you're going to get destroyed, but before you ever get a chance to actually do something for God, who died for you and went to hell for you, and he's trying to warn you throughout the Bible. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, again in verse 26. He said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." The title is "Grievous Wolves Shall Enter In Among You." Number one, so get fed. Number two, so expect them to enter. Number three, so expect them to arise. And number four, so watch and remember. Watch and remember. Paul said to watch and remember. He said to remember that he preached this stuff for 3 years. He preached it in morning sermons. He preached it in evening sermons. You say, why have I not heard this in other churches? But I tell you what, because they're not preaching alimentu. Because they're not declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. The Apostle Paul preached this stuff for 3 years, day and night. And with tears. He cared a lot about it. Because he knew it would happen. He said, you're going to get torn apart. You're going to get destroyed straight away. Now, you look at this stuff and think, well, then of course they will remember, don't you? So you're looking at that and you're thinking, he preached by the space of 3 years, he ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. They must therefore remember this. 3 years. The Apostle Paul. Anyone think the Apostle Paul could preach or not? I bet he could preach. That was a spirit-filled man of God preaching the word of God for 3 years. He preached this night and day. Then he said, watch and remember. Because look, you think they'll remember, but don't be so sure. People quickly forget. They quickly get deceived. It never ceases to amaze me. You preach this stuff and you just see it happening. Throughout church life, you just see it happening time and time again. You're like, I've warned you so many times. How many times do you have to preach this stuff? They quickly get deceived. They quickly forget all of those sermons and they get manipulated. He said, watch and remember. Watch and remember. Turn to Jude. The book of Jude. It's towards the end of your Bible, just before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude. Why was Paul crying? Do you know why? Because he knew how much would get destroyed. That's why he's crying. Because he knew how destructive wolves are. Whether they come in amongst you, whether they rise up from you, he just knew that they would just destroy it all so quickly. He knew how weak people are to this stuff. And you know why a lot of the time we're weak to this stuff? It's not because everyone's a bad person and just lets it happen. A lot of the time it's because really, as a Christian, as a believer, you want to think the best of people, don't you? You don't want to think everyone's bad. I'm kind of like, you know, I give people benefits of the doubt a lot, and then it's like the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. You're just like, man, you just don't want it to be true. You don't want it to be the case. You want it to just all be sunshine and flowers and skipping around, just going, this is such a lovely Christian life. But that's not the Christian life. It's hard work. But it's rewarding work, it's fulfilling work, and God wants you to do that work. He commands you to do the work, but he knows, he's warning you, you will get destroyed if you don't listen to him. The work will be destroyed before it even starts. I'm looking at a small group here that have got saved. There may be maybe more from the schools that aren't so local and from people where we've soul win a bit further from here that are maybe saved. Maybe we'll listen to this online where we upload it. Maybe we'll encourage them to do a bit, but do you know what? Like Paul said there, I know that grievous wolves shall enter in among you. I know that wolves shall rise up amongst you, and I know that they will not spare the flock. And I know they want to devour you. And whether they come from Malawi, or whether they come from the USA, or whether they come from England, or wherever, that will happen. And you have to watch and you have to remember. Remember this sermon. Rewatch it. Listen to it every day. Maybe not every day. Get a bit depressing. But listen to it. Listen to it. Because it's worth it, because we want you to live for God. We want you to be able to serve God, not to get destroyed before it gets going. He knew how effective they were. He said in verse 4 there, he said in Jude and verse 4, for there are certain men crept in, that means they creep in unawares. No one spots them. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He then said in verse 8 about these types of people that creep in, he said, likewise also these filthy dreamers, verse 8, defile the flesh, despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. They hate the leadership. Why do they hate the leadership? Because they want to draw everyone away as their own disciples. They can't stand it. They hate it. They're constantly wanting to somehow get some one-upmanship, something over on the leadership. They can't stand it because they want the sheep for themselves. They crave it. They desire it. He said in verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They're twice dead. They're done. They can't be saved. They've already rejected. They're done. They're done. They've chosen the devil. The Bible says they're reprobate concerning the faith. They cannot believe. But they partake in everything like one of you. He said they're in your feasts of charity. They're feasting with you. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They're amused by it. He said in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. They always have some vile lusts and they always are being led by their cravings for more, their pride, all these things. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words. We've just read about these people, haven't we? We've just read how these people, it's not just they deceive them again with the words of their mouth, with fair speeches. We saw in Romans 16, here it says, with great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So the advantage of their swelling words, of their charm, of their charisma, of them having no conscience. So unlike normal people, they will happily flatter to deceive. They'll flatter you. They'll coerce you. They have a goal. They have an end game to what they say. So it's an advantage because we don't spot it. We don't see it because they're very clever with it. Normal people don't behave like that. They have men's persons in admiration because of that advantage. They get sucked in by their holier-than-thou nonsense. They're like, this is just so holy. It can't be a wolf. He can't be a wolf because he just looks so holy. He does all these holy things. He says holy words. He just seems so sinless. By their words for show, their subtle boasting, their so-called knowledge that they're constantly trying to just slip in here, slip in there, their so-called holiness that they're trying to slip in here, slip in there. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, remember. Just remember this sermon. If you're saved and you're sitting here today and you want to go on to serve the Lord, and I hope you all want to go on to serve the Lord, please just remember this sermon. If you don't, if you forget the one in the morning, look, the one in the morning is important as well. But this is one to remember because you will be pulled away. It will happen. They will rise up. You'll be shocked if you don't remember. When the next person, you just start to think, what on earth? They claim they believe. They claim they were saved. They claim to go out and try and preach the gospel. They were getting people to pray with them. And now they're, what? I can't believe it. No, I just don't know what to do. I don't know who to believe. Right, I'm out of here. No. Remember. How that they told you that there should be mockers, verse 18, in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So they're led by the flesh. They're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So remember, you're saved. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, get fed. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Stay in the faith. Don't be led off into error. Stay close to God. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Don't ruin your Christian life. Don't waste it. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Great, but you could do so much while you're here. You could do so much, or you could just let yourself get destroyed. He said, watch and remember. Watch and remember. Last bit. And I'm going to read it one more time so you can't not remember it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 26 says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. The title was Grievous Wolves Shall Enter In Among You. Number one, so get fed. Get fed by the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Listen to the preaching. Learn from it. Grow in it. Do it as well. Do what you're being told to do by the Word of God. Number two, so expect them to enter. They will come in. They will come in one way or another. And don't let them come in. Don't let them come in by just turning up at the nearest Falls Church. Don't just look around and go, oh, well, you know, they seem to have a nice bit of music going on. Let's turn up there. No, look, you could go to them. But here he's warning. He's warning people that hopefully have enough savvy, that are sensible enough to not go there, but know that they will come into you. They will come in one way or another. He said, number three, so expect them to arise. Expect them to come up from sadly amongst yourselves, amongst people that seem to have got saved recently, that seem to have done over the last couple of weeks. And he said, so watch and remember. He said, watch, keep an eye. You go, well, how do I watch? I'm new to this. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get in the Bible. You need to start reading the Word of God. And I'll tell you what else you can do is you can learn from some of our past preaching as well. Look, I've preached loads of messages on this type of thing because, well, I'm trying to, look, I can't even get close to the Apostle Paul. I'm not doing it day and night for 3 years with tears. Okay, but I know it's such a risk. You see it going on so much that you have to regularly preach it. All over our YouTube channel, all over our website, are different messages on this. I've got a whole series on the book of Proverbs, which is just all about wisdom. So much wisdom, and so much of the book of Proverbs is actually trying to get you to be wise to spot these types of people. So watch for them, learn how to watch, and remember. Always remember that there are wicked people everywhere. Do you know that look, people have gone on missions trips all over the world. They've gone and got loads of people saved, sometimes thousands of people saved. But you know what usually happens? Grievous wolves come in among them and destroy them. Let's make sure that doesn't happen in Malawi, and make sure we can keep a remnant of believers, of strong people, of disciples here, ready to carry on a work here. So when we come back, there's still some people going, right? Who haven't been pulled left, right and centre and devoured and destroyed. So watch and remember. And on that, we're going to finish in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings in your word, Lord. Thank you for everything that you warn us about in the word of God, and especially this subject of predators, of wolves, of these children of the devil that seem to be everywhere, Lord, and they're trying to pull your people left, right and centre. They're damning the unbelievers to hell. They're trying to destroy your people so we don't go and get other people saved. Ultimately, they're just damning people to hell in one way or another. Please just help us, Lord, to spot them. Help everyone here to be strong. Help them all to now want to grow, to want to learn, to want to be strong, to be a part of your army, Lord, to be a part of your people, your children here to go out and battle spiritually, to get people saved and to destroy the work of the devil, Lord. Help everyone here to understand that, and to also not be scared by this message, to hopefully be strengthened by this message, and to know that they have the power to tread upon these people. They have the power to stamp them under feet. They just need to grow in the word and and be willing to serve you, Lord. Help everyone to do that and not to be destroyed. Help us to all get home safe and sound tonight, Lord. And in Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen.